just say I do.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to Behind the Veil, a show that provides insight into the world of weddings and events. I'm your host, Keith Willard. Welcome back to the show. Today, we're going to take a little bit of a different journey than our typical guest, because today we have an amazing guest. His name is Keith Lauren. He is considered the Spice King. Well, he is the Spice King, but he's also affectionately known around the world as the spiciest man in the world, the Duke of Delicious, the Kaiser of Curry, the King of Spice, and the man who invented cooking. And so his products are now in places like Costco and Walmart. So we're going to talk about how he got here and also about his YouTube videos, which now garner up and above 10 million views a piece. But before I bring him on, let me bring on my co-host Marcy Gutenberg with An Affair to Remember by Marcy.
Hi, Marcy. Pete. How are you?
I'm excited about today because we got a spicy man on our
we
show.
Are spicing up here today. Very exciting.
I just, you know, and what I love about it is that, you know, you just never know where these connections are going to be made. And he actually lives in your building.
He does. He does. And he's an amazing, amazing chef.
Oh, my God. So let's bring him on. Keith, welcome to the show. It's nice to have you.
What's happening, guys? Welcome. Thank you for bringing me and welcoming on the show. I really appreciate it. Hopefully we can spice things up.
Oh, I already know. Hi, I already know.
Hey, Marcy.
You two are like old friends because you see each other all the time in the building.
Oh, all the time. Oh, yes. Marcy. She's the best.
Oh, my God. I feel like I'm all over the place on this one. So, okay. How did this, because your dad had a restaurant that was called, the Oyster, if I remember that correctly?
Yeah, so the history behind it is my great-grandfather, his name was Gene Johnson, and in St. Augustine, he created the concept of like the Oyster Shack. So back right. at that time, Marilyn Monroe, Clark Gable, Lucille Ball, the Kennedys, Sinatra, they would all come to his restaurant. And this is during a time of, you know, segregation and all that. But
yeah,
great food just brought everybody together. And it was so memorable that they even named a street after him in St. Augustine. His pictures and all the banks. And so I wanted to continue that culinary greatness and be able to provide a memorable flavor for people all over the world. I want to make people's lives taste better.
That's amazing. And so, cool. And this was your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, or your great-grandfather?
My great-grandfather.
So was your grandfather or father involved in the cooking world also?
You know how sometimes in business it skips a generation?
Yeah.
So it skipped a generation and landed on me.
Oh, that's amazing. But you know, that's amazing because then it's not like you were building on something that was already there. You started basically your company from scratch then.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, so when I got back from the Middle East, which is a whole nother story about finding your passion and finding your path.
Right.
To summarize it, I went all over the world. When I graduated business school, my aunt said, you know, Keith, you should go around and travel and that way you can find yourself. And I know I wanted to work in the food industry. And when I would travel to Japan and China and Greece and Abu Dhabi, people would just love the food so much. I would always travel with spices and mix them for people. And when I would come back to America, they would have me and request for me to send spices to them. So they gave me the idea
right.
to start a spice company. And also people wanted me to teach them how to make certain dishes, ethnic dishes like the oxtail or Jamaican beef patty or Jamaican jerk. So I got back to America in 2011. I started on YouTube. And from our first video, we made our first sale.
Wow. So, you know, here's the thing is that you were traveling all over the world. And did we lose him? Oh, there you are. Yeah. Okay. You know, but you are traveling all over the world. You were already in love with spices, so to speak. And you were bringing that love to the locations that you were going to.
Yes. And just cooking for people just out of the goodness of my heart and my passion. And what happens when you do stuff that you love, you know, people want it because you put so much passion into it. And it's so good because you spend so much time doing it.
Yeah, and then it brings people together.
It brings people together. Yeah, unites the world, man. You can sit down and food breaks down all the religious barriers, cultural barriers, and you become instant family with people once their food is good. But the food has to be good, though.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
It has to be good.
Absolutely.
But and here you are, and did you find that because of the world of cooking and spices that it actually overcame any language barriers? Like the cooking itself became a language of itself.
Well, food and hospitality is its own language, and it's proof in how diverse our food culture is in America. You know, we have sushi, we have Mexican cuisine, Arabic cuisine, and, you know, we don't really speak the language, but the food is the drawing card.
And so that, and so when you were in these other locations, were you able to speak the language, or was the food the way you were?
I would try to do my best to learn, you know, words to get by.
Right.
The friendly terms, the directional terms. But it became irrelevant because, you know, people can.
Yeah. Well, what was your favorite place? You know, what was the one that kind of stood out? sorry, I missed that. Which is the one that stood out for you?
What I was saying, people keep trying to call me for some reason, right? You know, every time I go live, people just want to call you. Anyway,
I love it.
All of that gets washed out of the water, the language, because food is its own language.
Yeah.
And so it ends up working out.
Yeah. So was there a country that you, when you were first, you know, traveling the world, was there a country that really stood out to you as far as the spices that they use?
Yeah. So when I was working in Abu Dhabi, you know, in the Middle East, you have whole Arab souk markets. And you end up meeting the spice traders, and they come in on camels and bring things, or they'll bring things through trucks. And, you know, you just get a real education on how to mix the spices, blend them. And then during that time, I was also working in perfume. So I created a new technology of mixing spices that infuses the spices with aromatic essential oils and trace minerals. And I think that's the hallmark to our success, that their powerful flavor, because these spices are actually like perfumes. They have top notes, middle notes, and end notes. And so they just make the food such an experience.
God, I love that. I love that.
That's very cool.
What was one of, so when you first started the company, what was like when you said, you know, you did the TikTok, the YouTube videos, and you made your first sale on the YouTube video, what was like the first thing that you sold? What was
the very first video I put up was a recipe for a Jamaican beef patty. And the story behind that is when I was working in the Middle East, I ended up getting to cook for some of the members of the royal family there. And just everybody knew me for having big parties at our house. We would make our own wine, and we would have, you know, all different types of ethnic cuisines at my home. And they wanted to know how to make that crust so flaky and how to make the meat so juicy and delicious. And yeah. So I put the video in YouTube, and in that video, we used our all-purpose seasoning,
yeah,
which is also now at Costco.
I love that. And
told people, hey, you know, try this recipe. I was giving value,
yeah,
the recipe, and in exchange, I was encouraging people to try the spices to get the taste. So that was my sales gimmick at that time. Not that it's a gimmick, but that was my value added. I would provide people ethnic recipes and then give them the spice to be able to duplicate those same flavors.
Oh my God. My husband is a freak about allspice. I mean, it's like, it has to be in everything. It just drives me crazy. Uh-huh. I mean, but you know, here's the thing is that, you know, when we're talking about events specifically, and I asked you a little bit about this, you know, offline before we went on, one of the things that I feel that people run into is that they're afraid to try new things. They're afraid to add spice to their life because they're worried that, you know, people aren't going to like it or somebody's not going to enjoy it. You know, what is your advice to somebody that hasn't been into the world of spice but wants to venture out? Like, what are some of like the first steps or like some basic spices that people should think about?
Sure. So the most common complaint that I hear as a layperson outside of the field of wedding planning is how bland the food is.
Right.
Most of these places only will, you know, season with salt and pepper, and it's so bland. And most people dread going to events to have bland food. It's so common. Everybody's doing the same thing. So if you can provide a dining experience that is tasteful and memorable,
right,
you'll get so many more repeat clients and your name will spread.
Right.
So some of the spices that I would recommend are trying a brand like Spice King, which are curated spice blends that give you a universal flavor specific to the particular dish. If you don't have access to these, try experimenting with the basics. Mm. Garlic, onion, thyme, sage, rosemary, and, you know, depending on the genre of cuisine that you're creating, like seafood, you know, seafood has herbs that are very specific that really enhance it, like dill, tarragon, lemon, thyme, rosemary.
Yeah.
Sea salt, butter.
Getting hungry.
Doing beef.
I know, I'm getting hungry.
Yeah, you can experiment with flavor accents like porcini mushrooms and smoked salts. And, you know, all of our products have all of these unique ingredients already curated into the bottle. So that our product is one-stop shop. But I would try to experiment with things like that to enhance the flavor.
One of the things I was really surprised at, and honestly, we actually got this experience when we were on a cruise ship, is that they were bringing out multiple flavors of salt, which I never knew even existed, that there were all these kind of flavors of salt. It was an eye opener to me. And it was only because it was built into the menu that, you know, they brought out like a sampling of 7 different salts. I mean, it's really surprising when you open your eyes at all the possibilities that are out there all over the world.
Yes, salt is a great carrier of flavors and aromas. Mm-hmm. And depending on where you get the salt, like our salt, we get from a special island in Greece, Crete. Mm. And it's renowned for how minerally rich the salt is. And it just imparts a flavor depth that you can't get from regular table salt, as well as a nutritional profile.
That's right.
So salt is a natural flavor enhancer. Without it, the food tastes bland.
And you would use different salts for different items, right?
Say it again.
You would use different kinds of salts depending on the protein. Am I right?
Yes. I generally like using a kosher sea salt as my favorite.
Yeah.
Because you get the chef texture of the kosher. But you also get the background aroma of the ocean from using the sea salt.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. You know, I never even thought about the fact that salts have smells to them, and yes, that carries over to the dish.
Absolutely.
Oh my goodness, I love that. So yeah, Here you are traveling all over the world. You're cooking for kings and queens, literally. And you decide that, oh, okay, I'm going to come back. I'm going to make a YouTube video and start my business, right?
Yes.
And then, so where did you go from there? I mean, because here you are like, oh, I'll put together some spices and send it off to somebody. Or did you already have a plan in place that said, you know, this is the kind of business that we're going to send, and we're going to start with these 6 spices, and I'm going to make a video about it?
So I was very deliberate in all of my actions. I knew that I wanted to work in the food space,
right?
But I knew that if I just did one restaurant location, I would be limited by times and space and availability.
Right.
And so I thought the next best way to provide my friends at that time, or my future customers, would be a virtual online platform.
Yeah,
where I could provide the service of teaching people how to create these ethnic gourmet meals, but I would also be able to provide a product that would be self-duplicating for myself,
right?
And be able to touch people on a global scale, and so that's why I chose spices, because I was wonderfully talented naturally at mixing spices, and then the technology that I created to do it was so far above what anybody else was doing. That it would become a popular staple, which it is. Right now, we're in 5,000 stores. We're in Walmart, Stop and Shop, Big Y, Julasco, HEB, Food Lion, Kroger, and Fry's. And now we're working on going international into Canada and also to the Middle East with our distribution. God, so it was very deliberate. And
what kind of timetable are we talking about? I mean, how long from the first YouTube video until now?
Okay, so I made a sale with my first video the day I put it up.
Right.
And it was so shocking to me to get that first sale. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And I was mixing the spices in Ziploc bags.
Yeah. And so
I was literally sending out Ziploc baggy spices.
Oh, how funny.
Mixed to my recipe.
Right.
Online. I still remember the lady, her name was Deborah. That was my first customer, Miss Deborah. And at that time, I had just enrolled in culinary school. So I mailed out the spice the same day that I flew to New York to go to the Culinary Institute of America.
No. Oh, my God. That's crazy.
And so in my college dorm, I would go and buy the spices wholesale. And I had a big countertop, and I would mix it all of my roommates left me because the room smelled like curry all the time. But it just ended up giving me more space to have for practicing and mixing the spices and experimenting.
Right.
So once the order started coming in, and it would come in gradually, you know, you have to walk before you crawl.
Right.
I realized that I couldn't mix the spices full time and go to school. And so I did what they call co-packing. Mm. And co-packing is a term that describes finding manufacturing companies that manufacture similar items to you.
Right.
And giving them your recipe and having them manufacture it for you.
Right.
So I had another company start to manufacture it for me. And then I found a fulfillment center. First, it was my mom and my aunt who would mail the products out for me after I got the manufacturer to make it. Then I found a fulfillment company where I would send the manufactured items, spice bottles to them, and then they would mail it out for the online customers.
God, I mean, just thinking about, so as an event planner that's not in that world, I mean, when I hear fulfillment company, I hear, you know, German. I mean, it's like, what? You know, I mean, the learning curve had to be pretty incredible for you. Or was that part of also the learning that you were getting while you were in business school and culinary school?
At the time, there was no real education for that. It was mostly a trial by error. At the culinary school that I went to at the time,
right,
it was mostly centered on people wanting to work in the restaurant space. Mm. And the online dynamic with, you know, becoming a quote unquote celebrity or influencer online was a fairly new event.
Right.
So it was a lot by trial and error. But where there's a will, there's a way. And I was just one who just never gave up. And I experienced a hellacious time because that was my sole income.
Right.
So when I was in college, you know, I would get a $10 spice order and I would go and buy food. Like I could buy ramen noodles, you know what I'm saying? Or I could go to McDonald's and buy a meal or to the Chinese restaurant. And that got me through. Like those noodles got me through. It was literally hand to mouth. So you just have to be very determined to ride the highs and the lows. And then what happens is you experience tremendous growing pains. I remember my first grocery store order. Then now this is after I was mixing the products in my dorm. Then I had to find a company that could help me manufacture on a large scale, which was very expensive for me at the time. And then I had volume. So I had to make an investment to do it. And then when I got my first grocery store order, it was $25,000. I had to come up with $25,000 to do my manufacturing. And my family didn't have it. My friends didn't have it. I don't know how the hell it happened, but God made a way. I ended up talking to a lot of people, a lot of friends and family helped me, lent me money. And then I found a factoring company. A factoring company is a company that will front you money on your invoice. Let's say you have a $25,000 invoice. They'll front you the cost of the manufacturing.
Right.
Give it directly to the manufacturers, and then they'll pay you the difference plus interest and fees.
Yeah, of
once
course.
The retailer pays. And so for the first few years, I never made a dime. So I got my first, I started online in 2011. I got my first grocery store retailer in 2015. 2019, I got Walmart. And then from 2022, we've expanded from 1,000 stores to 5,000 stores. So even that's a learning curve.
And
global is going to be another learning curve. So it's a constant flow of learning curves and faith and being okay and comfortable riding the severe lows.
Right.
And highs. There was times I only had $3 in my account. I had enough money to go and buy a pack of ramen and a Reese's. But my bills were paid and my manufacturers were paid. And nobody would ever know because I'm fabulous.
Right. That is the way to go, because at the end of the day, many times it's about what people see, and you're the one controlling the narrative.
Right.
You're the one controlling the narrative.
And the universe tests you on how bad you want it.
Right. They do.
Every word out of my mouth was about spices and distribution.
Mm-hmm.
I had no girlfriend. I had no, you know, real social life. It was just pure work. I would do all the farmers markets. I would make all the videos.
God,
I would do
incredible. All
the marketing. I was going to the retailers trying to get them, sending out email. It was a lot of work.
So here you go from Ziploc bags to labeled beautiful bottles on the shelves of Costco. Do you find yourself pinching yourself sometimes going, this is my life?
You know what? I'm in such a humble state because I know how absolutely difficult it was. And I'm appreciative of every cent that comes through because I know the times where it wasn't there and I had to borrow and plead for favors. You know, I know it so realistically and vividly that I just appreciate it all. So I'm not one of those people that brag like that, but I am confident. And I do like to say, I'm the spiciest man in the world. And do go for this. Sorry, I'm better cooking because, you know, that revs me up. It keeps me motivated in face of all the obstacles. And sometimes you're the only person you have to motivate yourself because not a lot of people are in our space that can give you advice or help. So you got to be your own support system.
Actually, next week, we're actually going to be talking about the loneliness of being an entrepreneur, where that's the subject. Because sometimes, many times when you're an entrepreneur, a lot of people don't realize what you're going through.
And you need to go and get a job. Why you got to wear that jewelry? Why you got your hair looking like that? Nobody's ever going to buy your spices. Nobody cares about black. I've had executives tell me nobody cares about the flavor of African Americans or Caribbean food. Nobody cares about it. But
what?
We're all the style and rage right now. Everybody's tired of salt and pepper. People want food. They want flavor. So it felt so good when I cashed the largest check I ever cashed.
Yes.
And then I was driving to my car to the bank and I was yelling out all the stuff everybody had ever told me. You ain't got no money. How you gonna get it on this stuff? Nobody wants it. I was yelling out right to the bank. And it felt so good.
Oh my gosh.
So I encourage everybody, if you have a goal, you know, it's gonna feel so good.
Yeah,
when
because
you walk by the store shelves, you see your product on the shelf, despite what everybody else tells you, and you get rewarded based off of your faith.
And you made a success in a really difficult world. I mean, the world of spices, it was pretty much controlled by McCormick.
Yeah. Correct.
Right?
And so I'm pretty sure they're going to offer me, at the very minimum, $100 million to take over my company eventually. So
right.
I'm not going to keep anything under that.
I love it. You put that out into the universe, it's going to happen. And by the way, the McCormicks actually live in Fort Lauderdale, FYI.
Oh, wow. Well, you have to introduce me.
I know. I've done a few parties for them. So they're amazing people. I don't think actually they're personally involved anymore. But
right now I'm the largest African-American spice company. Not just really? African-American spice company, but a pretty big enterprise without that specification. That's so I'm incredible. Sure we'll be talking soon with them.
I mean, I just find it, amazing, your passion, your drive to create this business, not only create it, but to see it through. Because many times people go, oh, I have this passion. I have this vision. They get 6 years into it and they think, this is not panning out the way I want it. And they give up.
You know why that is? Because most people have a plan B. I don't have a plan B. I have a plan A, which is to win, and I have a plan A, which is to win. Either I'm going to win or I'm going to win more.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
Keith is very hands-on. I mean, Spice King, he is like very hands-on with his business. I mean, he does his own music for his ads.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I find that fascinating that you still do your own music, that you create your own music for this.
Oh, your music, your advertisement. Who's going to sell it better than you?
Right.
And music is magic. You know, in all of our songs, I say, I'm a billion-dollar brand. Spice King is going to get you right.
Right.
You know, so I'm letting people know, listen, if you use Spice King, your food is going to be all the way right.
It's amazing. When
the McCormick's come along, they're going to have to write the big checks.
Go ahead,
Marcy. I have a question for you about, because now that you're in Costco, which is a big box store, what is it like to work with a company where obviously the packaging might be a little bit different because of sizes? Am I right on that, or do you keep it the same size?
So Spice King, the food service size, which is the size that Costco has,
right.
is probably double, almost three times the size of the conventional bottles. And that's fine. Whoever's helping you manufacture your product can easily make that adjustment. That adjustment is just a matter of finding a larger size bottle. You're going to have to change your label a little bit. And all of those are just cosmetic changes. But the quality of your product has to remain the same. And you have to be able to show the retailers that people will go in and buy your product.
How do you make sure that you continue to keep the quality and the freshness there when, as you expand? Because obviously you're starting to work with more and more companies and probably overseas on some of these things. Right. How do you make sure that you keep that firsthand experience, that firsthand freshness, that A+?
So this is why it's so important. There's a parable that talks about the very rich man and his company who had a son, and his son was expecting to go right in and get a job at the top. And his father said, hell no, you're going to first mop these floors, learn how to do that. Now you're going to sweep the floors. Then you're going to clean the toilets. Then you're going to wash the windows. Okay, now you're going to take the trash out of the office buildings, and you're going to meet the people that do all of these specific tasks.
Right.
Make a for sure. You have to learn every part of the business. It was hard and difficult, but I'm blessed that I've had all of those experiences, from the manufacturing, from the Ziploc bags, to manufacturing on a large scale, to doing my own marketing, making cooking videos, the expertise behind that, the marketing, the sales to the retailers.
Right.
And I got a firsthand experience by putting myself out there. So during college, I got my internship at Food Network. And how I got that is I just kept calling the president's office, and I was very persistent, and I finally got through, and I asked him, hey man, can you give me an internship? You know, I want to work in food television. One day I'm gonna have my own TV show.
Right.
I want to learn behind the scenes. He's like, he said, you know what, Keith, I like your attitude. You can start on Monday. Now keep in mind that this was so difficult to achieve, because
that's amazing.
You have to go through so much red tape to get an internship at Food Network, but I was able to get it. And I was told that I was the first Black intern, real intern that they had in like multiple years.
Wow.
I was very privileged to be able to do that. You never know what the answer could be unless you try. My grandmother said, you never know unless you try. So in life and in business, you always have to try.
I tell people that all the time. I'm like, don't be afraid of the word no. Do not be afraid of the word no.
And somebody's going to say it. People that do say no are going to regret it later.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. I say that all the time. I'm like, look, you don't want to hire me? I enjoy the process.
No just means not right now. Come back better.
Right. I mean, it's true. And so with COVID, have you been feeling some of the same things that kind of all of us are, with transportation issues, with, you know, shipping issues? Are you seeing that in your business as well? And how has it affected it overall?
COVID has affected everybody, especially those in the event space, catering space, because we lost to a great degree our access to the general public.
Right.
However, in the food retail space, people always have to eat, and nobody wants to eat bland food. And when you use cheap, nasty spices, your food comes out cheap and nasty. So our products are the opposite of that, being at the superior quality. And eventually, once they try it, they kind of don't want to go to anybody else. So
that makes sense.
We've experienced an increase in sales during COVID, despite the shortages and all of that.
Right.
Because of the quality of our products. So even in the Bible, it says that the cream always rises to the top, or it says that the man that's very skilled in his work will be set before kings.
Right.
So it's our job to just become the best that we can be. Provide the best service, the best product, and then just by nature of doing that, we will rise.
How important has social media been in your business? You know, if somebody's out there and they're starting their business and they're an entrepreneur, how important is social media? Because one of the things, as an event planner, it drives me crazy, because we have to be on all you know, we have to be on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok and all of these places in order to, on a continuous basis. What is it like on your end as far as the spice world or, you know, a product that's going out to the masses? So how important is social media?
I'll answer that question with a story.
Okay.
So in the book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, Robert Kiyosaki talks about his experience going into the dental office. And when he was in the dental office, this lady ran up to him and said, "Your book is trash. My book is so much better written than yours. Your periods are off. Your punctuation sucks. You're horrible." And he was like, "Hold up, lady. I never said I had the best written book. I said I have the best selling book."
Right.
So he became the best seller in that story narrative because he had more awareness.
Right.
In public. If nobody knows about it, how are they going to buy it? So that is the importance of social media. You have to tell your story. You have to market it. The bird, the bird with the loudest mouth gets fed. Make a lot of noise. Be bold.
Yeah.
Be in their face. Go to all of the go to all of the trade shows, farmers markets online. Into, you know, whatever you have to do to get the name out.
Right. Well, talking about bold and a loud mouth, hello, Brooke Logan Stoner.
Who called my name?
Hello, Brooke.
Hi. Not Lena Cuisine today.
How are you?
Pepper, I've been listening. Hi. Welcome.
Thank
Mr.
you.
Mr. King.
Thank you. A pleasure to be here.
So here's the thing is that, you know, and with your YouTube videos that you've been doing, do you pair that with some of the spices that that people can buy from you? Are you doing cooking shows based on some of the spices that people are able to buy?
So you have to do it in life. You have to do everything with a purpose.
Right.
So I made an oxtail video because I have an oxtail seasoning.
I love oxtail.
I made a collard green video because I have a collard green seasoning.
Right.
I make fried chicken videos because I have a fried chicken seasoning.
Smart.
The barbecue, I have a barbecue rug. So I am providing culinary expertise and cooking methods in the video for free. I'm giving value, but I'm also have something for people to purchase.
Right.
So that's how you have to do things. You can draw people in by providing value. And in exchange for you providing value, you gain their trust. They use your knowledge, your expertise, and they will trust your product because your recipe came out amazing or your service will be amazing. So in the service industry, in any type of thing, anything you do, marketing is always the same.
Right.
You're solving a problem or you're creating the problem and you're offering the solution. And the best solution is your brand or your product. So if you can keep that in mind, you'll be a very great salesperson. Solve the issue. Show how your product is superior and show how it benefits the consumer to use your product or service.
I always tell people, make it easy to buy. You have to make it easy to buy.
Yes.
You know, along that line, how important is customer service to go along with the food product itself? I know that in the event industry, if you have shitty customer service, nobody's going to care a damn about what the food tastes like because it was delivered by some snarky, you know, little waitress or waiter. If you got to have a smile when you deliver the food.
That is true.
Yeah.
That has a great truth. However, the truth of the matter is quality wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I know I've gone to several restaurants and the customer service was horrible.
But that steak
the
was
cashier
nice.
Was rude.
Yep.
But I still kept going back because you just can't beat that particular
that food.
Flavor.
Yeah.
And so even if your customer service sucks, which it should never, always provide the best value product.
Yeah, because it'll keep people coming back. What was it like to cook for a king? I mean, so here's my thought. So when I and of course I'm coming from a point of view that I've never even met a king. So working for a king, cooking for a king, I for some reason I have these visions of like tasters having to taste it in front of the king so it's not poisoned and all that stuff.
Oh, you absolutely.
Know, That's a real thing.
Oh yeah, you have to go through, you know, security. They have to vet the ingredients, and they just have to. You have to be trusted.
That would be my dream job.
And it's usually a referral or recommendation.
Right.
And I came in highly referred.
Right. And so, did you actually get to meet the king?
I met members of their family, but I wasn't allowed. That close.
That happens a lot. Yeah, I've heard that before, where people are like, "No, you get to see the B line, but you never get to really see the A line." But they loved your food. Absolutely. They loved your food,
and they still use my spices, so that's great. And
do they really?
The same way I was able to design the formulations for DJ Khaled and Mr. E Class's finger licking restaurants by word of mouth.
Really?
I just got invited to. I got invited to do some. Things for Arby's. And right now I'm working on a special product for Smokey Bones restaurant chain.
Oh, wow.
And I also have the new Spice of Wakanda.
Yeah.
That's going to be released during the time of the Black Panther movie. So,
no.
Oh, wow.
No.
Yes.
That's the coolest thing. I'm a big Marvel freak. So I'm like, what? Oh, my God.
Chadwick Boseman, rest in peace. Chadwick Boseman. And his wife loved the spices. Some of the actors like Atwanda Kanai loved the spices. Egypt Sherrod, she highlights them. You know, so the power of the internet, everybody sees it.
Wow.
Yeah.
You never know who's watching. So just put your best foot forward.
Always. Always.
Who was that one client that in your mind after you were there and that happened, like in that click, like, okay, this is the tea. Like, I've made it. Like who? Yeah. What was that? Out of all of them,
good question.
That's a good question. Who was the celebrity or king or queen that you met that you went, now that I've met them, I know I'm the shit.
Probably Mr. E Class and the DJ Khaled team.
Yeah,
they're hardcore, you know. And they listen. If it's not good, they're not going to use you. And they've called me back for several projects. So. And then Arby's. If Arby's is paying attention, if NBC Today Show is paying attention. Is important.
So were you on the Today Show?
Yes, I was. I was on with Carson Daly and Al Roker.
How was that?
Wow.
What was that like?
That's cool.
Was that a lot of hurry up and wait? Or, you know, or was there a lot of stress involved when you were on that segment?
Well, that was the biggest television show I had been on at that time. And I was just so in awe that they found my little old barbecue video on the internet and actually called me and invited me. And they gave me royal treatment, picked me up with the limo, and I had the attendants, and I had the full support of the kitchen staff helping me prep. And they just made me feel so special. And I got to meet all of the celebrities behind the scenes. I had my own makeup room, powder room.
What?
It was really, really memorable for me. And I always look fondly upon that.
Do they pay you for your
food? Didn't do that for me.
Yeah, no, they didn't do that for Brooke. But did they
one
pay
second.
For go ahead. Oh, I'm like, I mean, I find that really fascinating because, I mean, you hear about people going on the Today Show and doing those things. And you always wondered, like, what is it really like when you're there? And I love the fact that they're like, oh, no, they treat you like the gold standard. I mean, I know I've been to a couple of, you know, Beeline and I don't get treated like that.
Jerry was okay until the end.
Yeah, so like, you know,
everything kicked out, gave us like a 3-day-old half a submarine sandwich and put me in a hallway. Picked up in a limo from the airport. I took out this lovely lady, her name was Christine, took her she took me and my girlfriend to the baton. We went out to dinner, like, partied all night long.
Right.
And it was great. And then as soon as I was done with my segment, he's like, thanks, bitch, bye. And I got a really nasty sandwich with soggy lettuce. And I was like, how very dare you?
I mean, they didn't even pay for my damn Uber.
I had the sign and everything from the limo. I did get that.
Where do we leave off?
Oh, no. We were just asking, like, I was asking, did they pay for your flight and your hotel? Like, what was that like also?
Some television shows will pay.
Yeah.
Some don't.
Right.
So you have to be willing to take that risk if you want that exposure. But most of the big ones will pay for that travel.
Did you see a big uptick in sales when you were on the Today Show?
I think it did more for the exposure and credibility of the brand.
Right.
I just think it all works cumulatively.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't rely on the one promotion of show. One particular group, but you just have to just do your best all around because you never know who's watching.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I don't look at, I just try to do my best. And if people see it, they see it. If they don't, they don't. And that's my attitude. I just wanted to be the best that I can be personally without any validation.
Right. Yeah. You validate yourself.
Yes. Yeah. If you did your best, that's the validation.
Right. And when it's, go ahead. No, Marcy first.
When you were on the Food Network, what did you do with them? Were there any celebrity chefs that you got to work with?
Yeah.
What was the
when I had my internship at Food Network, I got to work behind the scenes on Emerald Projects, Rachel Ray Projects, Paula Deen, the Deen brothers, Alton Brown. He was amazing. Sonny Anderson. And my first 3 weeks there, I think this was by divine appointment. They stuck me in a spice closet. And I had to rearrange thousands of different spices. And while I was back there, I would be dipping and tasting and mixing and creating. And that was a big part of my education too, but just to have access to so many ingredients that I could actually physically taste and manipulate.
Yeah.
It just made me better. And then I got to see how the business works with the product sponsorships and partnerships and how that whole marketing engine worked. And I saw how behind the scenes, the talent was paid versus how the producers are paid versus how the directors are paid. I just got to see so much. And that's also helped me to be independent.
Yeah.
And be successful because I saw how the big machines work.
Right.
Did you get to personally meet like Paula and Emerald, and did you get to meet them? Or
I met a few of them. I didn't meet Paula, but I met her sons, the Deen brothers.
Yeah.
Alton Brown.
Without like saying, hey, which one was your favorite? Which one you had a most memorable experience, I guess?
I would say Alton Brown, and I would say Sonny Anderson.
Mm.
And I also would throw in Guy Fieri, too.
Oh, Guy Fieri.
Guy Fieri invited me on his show twice. And he said that I was one of his most memorable chefs. And I really appreciated that.
That's amazing, though.
That's cool.
Was he just like what you see on TV? Because when we've had a couple of people on the show, like David Tatera was very real when he was on the show. You know, when you see David, it's all flash and glam and stuff. But when he was on the show, he was very personal and very real. I mean, he was raw with the information that he was giving us. And it was amazing. Super human being.
He definitely was. But I would have to say my favorite was Alton Brown.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
And it meant to Alton Brown and Sonny Anderson. So remind you now, I'm an intern. I'm doing everything from helping prep, cutting up onions, to cooking family meal for all of the executives, to adjusting the camera when something falls or pick, you know, I was just there for it all.
Right.
And I felt very lowly because not that I felt lowly, but nobody paid attention. If you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. 100%.
One day I was walking by and Mr. Alton Brown said, "Hey, how are you, Keith?" I'm like, damn, you know my name? How?
Right?
And I remember I would cook things for family meal and the executives come down. Who made this? Wow, that's amazing. They would
ask. I had to feel amazing.
Even years after I left, they would email me and ask me for recipes. Oh, Alton Brown was great. Sonny Anderson, she always made sure to speak to you. Hey, Chocolate Man, how are you doing? that meant a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said, I was not that we're ever nobody, but
yeah.
I think it's great when like someone of that caliber actually takes the time to like learn people's names and actually give a shit because so many do not. You don't have great experiences. So I'm actually happy to hear that. I'm so happy for you.
They were very kind and very sweet.
What's a pinch me moment for you that you're looking forward to? Like because you already talked about, you know, McCormick handing you $100 million check. If you could throw it out into the universe and there was somebody that you wanted to meet or work with, who would it be? I mean, is there a, like a favorite in your head that I, you know, you've always admired so and so, and you would really love to have the opportunity to work with them?
I would love to work with the McCormick family. I would love to work with Master P.
Yeah.
I would love to work with Disney to create products, create a flavor experience that pairs with their movies.
Yeah, you're not too far with Marvel, I'm just saying.
So genius. Yeah. That's
Epcot.
Yeah.
Hello, Epcot. Yeah.
The Spice King needs to be there. You know what I mean? The Spice King has to be there.
Right? But that's, I mean, I find that really fascinating that you even hit on something, because I think that would be a really interesting idea to pair spices with the movie. I know that you're already doing the Black Panther, but I think that that could be expanded on in many ways.
Ratatouille, Little Mermaid, like those two stick out with the kitchen, like the, oh my God, that would be so good.
Or like even a Fred Green Tomatoes kind of movie, you know? I mean,
I even come up with a spice for the new Avatar movie that turns the food blue.
No! Sorry.
Yeah. So I'm ready. I'm ready for it. I just need, you know, the right connections and the
blue,
you know,
popcorn.
Oh wow!
But it turns the food blue.
Yes, it matches the Avatar, and the flavor is so great. I'm not going to describe the flavor, you know, but it's really magnificent.
Wow. What is your favorite dish to cook? You know, at the end of the day, what is your fan favorite that you're like, you have a big group of people coming over, you need to have something that you know that everybody's going to love. Is there a dish that you can to, what is it?
I'll tell you, there's so many dishes to name and to prepare, but if you were to ask me what I want right now,
yeah,
I would tell you, I would create my version of a Brazilian moqueca. A moqueca is a seafood stew made with coconut and ginger and fresh garlic, tomatoes, peppers, and onions. And then it's topped with an African red palm oil.
Oh,
I would make that with seared salmon or snapper with scallops and crab and shrimp with that coconut sauce, fresh cilantro, the African red palm oil. And then I would make a Haitian black rice. Haitian black rice is made with these mushrooms from Haiti. And when you boil it, it turns the stock a jet black. And it's so flavorful and concentrated and rich. I would make that with jasmine rice. It'll be a black jasmine rice. I would make the garlic tostones, which are like fried plantains. And I would also take ribs, and I would cook ribs down in a pot with like sour oranges and tomato paste and some of the Spice King all-purpose seasoning, Scotch bonnet peppers, and then I would cook it until it's falling off the bone. And then I would take it and deep fry it so it's crispy. And then I would reduce the sauce and pour that sauce over the crispy, tender ribs and have the ribs with my fish and my black rice and my tostones. And I'm good.
Oh, my God. I'll see you Thursday.
Let's go.
Oh, my gosh.
That's what I would make.
You mentioned before that you have a fried spice. Does that mean that it has to be fried, or is that just meaning that it's the flavor?
I call it my fried chicken spice, but it's actually a gourmet poultry seasoning. Yeah. And this seasoning just transforms any type of poultry dish. It has all of the sage and rosemary and thyme and clove and just all of the perfect balance of the garlic and the onion and also the essential oils that we add. And it just makes the flavor of the chicken come alive. You put that with some lemon juice and a little bit of the seasoned sea salt. And the chicken tastes gourmet. It tastes like you just got it from a five-star French restaurant.
That's amazing. And
all of my products are designed that way to give you the ultimate flavor with ease and takes all the guesswork out of it. And it just really gives you a high-quality experience.
And I think that's the big thing, is that you're taking the guesswork out of it. You're making it easy for people to feel like they're an amazing chef.
Yeah, let me tell you something. So, my grandma would say, baby, if you can make hot water taste good, you got something great. So if you just add the seasoning with hot water, it tastes like a gourmet meal by itself. So you could just drink hot water with spicy seasoning. It tastes like you got the best thing ever.
Well, the nice thing about spices, too, is that, I mean, for like, I watch what I eat. So when I'm eating, I try not to eat sauces and things like that. But with spices, I can use it like all the time. And there's no calories in spices.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the best thing. I can just take any kind of protein and make it like something totally different.
Yeah, I was just actually going to say that. Yeah, go ahead.
the beauty about products like these is the average one of my spice blends has about 20, from anywhere from 14 to 28 different herbs and spices in it. So it's actually medicine. Spices are medicine. Each spice has a direct correlation to affect something in your body. And when you use a cumulative spice like this, you're getting so many herbs, so much phytonutrients, so many trace minerals. And that's why when people taste one of my products, they're like, oh my God, what the hell did you put in here? Oh, and they, you know, licking everything, fingers and toes and everything else. It's so good. So that's why.
I've had the poultry one. It's delish. I mean, oh.
Well, the thing is,
if I had it my way, I would wear my spices like perfume. I wouldn't even need perfume.
Well, you know, I, as somebody that's is actually working towards losing some of this, the excuse of COVID weight, spices are the thing, man. I can make anything taste amazing with the right spices. And I'm actually going to go to Costco and pick me up some of these spices because
that's right.
I'm excited about this.
And I would encourage anybody in the food industry to just go ahead and start experimenting.
Yeah.
And using different things because it adds a memorable experience for your customers. And then that enhances and adds to the word of mouth marketing.
Right.
So you'll win and win and win.
When you have an event, you know, and a chef uses spices, they go through their spices pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But the average person, you know, in their home, they may or may not go through spices as quickly. What is the shelf life like?
So, good question.
So the spices, our shelf life, we have a 2-year shelf life. And we manufacture them in a way where, you know, it's like airtight. So it retains all of its essential oils and.
Yeah, because it dries out. You know, if you're not careful, they dry out.
Yeah, our products last a while, like I would say 2 years.
2 years. Okay.
And I actually had a wedding.
I actually had a wedding
that they had a special dish that came from their mother's recipes, and they actually put together a packet of those spices and had a little note that was the favor that they gave everybody.
Nice.
Is that they enjoyed this beautiful entree, and you could take a little bit of piece of this home with you using these spices, and then they put the you know recipe card with it. It was awesome.
Great.
It was such a great connection to the family and to their history.
Really nice idea.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, I just loved it.
And you can't say salt. What is, if you could just pick one spice on the planet, like game changer, like just one, what would it be?
I think he said salt.
I said he can't say salt.
Oh, he can't say salt. Oh.
It was one spice.
That's not, that you can't say salt.
Yeah. And salt, yeah. I was listening while I was painting.
The first thing that came to my mind was nutmeg.
Really?
Nutmeg, the reason, the secret reason why nutmeg, besides it tasting so good, is so prevalent in holiday meals is because studies show that nutmeg is psychoactive and it triggers your happy feelings and nostalgia feelings.
Oh.
I'm putting that shot on everything.
And
it's
going to be the new spice. Increases dopamine.
Yes.
So I would say nutmeg.
I love that.
Now, nutmeg is in a lot of Indian food too, correct?
Nice. Nutmeg is in a lot of culture food. It's in African cuisine. It's in Caribbean. Mm-hmm. You know, the Spice Islands are in the Caribbean. So nutmeg grows heavily there. In Asia, nutmeg is used quite a bit. Generally, universally around the planet, nutmeg is loved.
I just made Cajun chicken pasta 2 nights ago. And actually, you put nutmeg in. I made my own Cajun seasoning. If you will, and that section, that was one of the things I put on there.
Let me ask you, what's the dream, right? So here you are, you're in 5,000 stores across the country. What's the dream for the Spice King? Where do you want to see yourself in another 5 years or 10 years?
So I want to be global. Like I really want to make people's lives taste better all over the world. So I want Spice King. Let me rephrase my statement.
Yeah.
Spice King will be in. You know, all the Carrefour markets in the Middle East and in France and Europe and all the big box stores abroad in Canada.
I love the fact that you said they will be. It will be.
Yes.
And not a question. When.
It's a question.
Right.
It's not a question. It's a statement.
I look forward to partnering with Disney and with the McCormick family and, you know,
yeah.
Mr. Master P. I just want to make the experience, the food experience of people great.
And then if people wanted to connect with you, how do they do that? What are your social media? Like, how do they reach out to you?
Sure. You can reach me at my website, which is spicekingworld.com. And you can also message me on Instagram, which is The Spice King.
And you'll see it if you're watching the show, you'll see it on the ticker tape below. If you're listening to us on our podcast, again, it's www.spicekingworld.com or the Instagram at The Spice King. You got to check out his videos. They are
if I could truly, leave one parting word, it would just be to just really go after your goals, go after your dreams. Don't look at what's around you. Look at what is to come and what you expect, and just have faith in your gift and do everything you can to share it.
Don't give up. Don't give up. Right? If you have a dream, keep it going. All right, guys. Thank you so much. That was our hour. Thank you. Keith, thank you so much for being on Behind the Veil. We really appreciate it. It was really insightful. I loved our conversation. If you want to get a hold of Keith, the Spice King, I'm just telling you, man, his spices are all over the place. You can buy them at Walmart and Costco. So be part of the movement, because that's what we're talking about. It's a Spice King movement.
That's right. We're going global.
We're going global.
That's his buzz.
Right. And next week, when we brought it up early on the show, when we talk about being an entrepreneur, it does have a loneliness factor to it. And we're going to be talking about that next Tuesday at 2:00. But for now, everybody say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.